we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast this morning. I am Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful you tuned in this post-election day right here on 91.5 FM. I am live in the studio this morning. We stayed up and watched the election results. I stayed up till about 3:30 in the morning, and we're here to share some perspective and the Word of God with you today. And try and pastor you through this moment if we can. And so I want to just briefly say thank you to Jits Concrete 5365804 for helping to make this ministry possible. The Anderson family has been working and doing concrete and block work throughout Brevard County for several decades now, and they would do a great job for you. And if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 5365804. So when I am at church, there are times when I am preaching a sermon series. I'm preaching what God has laid upon my heart. And then every once in a while, there are times where I'm sharing the Word of God, but I'm sharing it not from a preacher's perspective per se, but a pastor's perspective. And so today, that's kind of what I want to do here on the radio program, is kind of help to pastor you through this moment. And some things that I have been told through the years by my supervisors, by my presbyter, district superintendent, and others. And so if I can just share some of those things with you, we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 2. That's where we are going to start this morning. Is why when I came, was there no man? Why when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. One of the things that we tell people is if you do not vote, you do not have a reason to gloat, or you do not have a reason to complain. You lose that, you forfeit that privilege. And here in Isaiah chapter 50, there is another demand, if you will, that is placed upon the body of Christ, and that is this: we are called to pray. We are called to pray for those in authority over us. We were called to pray for President Bush. We were called to pray for President Obama. We are now called to pray for President-elect Trump. We are called to pray for them, that we'd be able to lead peaceable lives, that we would be able to go about our business, that we would be able to go about our task, our mission, and accomplish that without adversity, without inconvenience, without attacks. And so today I want to encourage you, if you have been praying, don't stop praying. We have been praying at the church. We pray Thursday mornings. We have been praying Sunday nights. Even before our chili cook-off this last week, it was a teaching on prayer followed by intercessory prayer. And so I want to encourage you, do not stop. If you have experienced a prayer breakthrough over the past several weeks, do not secede that territory back to the enemy. Continue to pray. Do not be a crisis mode prayer. Be a presence of God prayer, knowing that we need the presence of God just as much today as we did yesterday. And so that's the first thing that I want to share with you, is let's continue to be people of prayer. The second thing that I want to tell you today is represent God well. Represent God well. I do know that they were saying last night two things. One is America is a deeply divided nation. When I went to bed last night, Trump was ahead by 1 million votes in the popular vote. And when I came into the radio station here this morning, I was told that he was, after over 112 million votes nationwide, he separated, or the two candidates were separated by about 100,000. That marks a deeply divided nation. Every house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, I want to tell you that what that means is there is a tremendous opportunity for the body of Christ. Where there is division, the message of unity, the message of reconciliation, has the greatest opportunity to shine forth. And so today, where whatever happens, recognize that our land is in need of healing, and therefore we need to continue to be a humble people, a people that are willing to turn from their sins, a people who are willing to seek the face of God and repent. Okay, that's what America needs. And so I want to encourage you, represent God well. If your candidate did not win last night, represent God well. The second thing that I heard about the election returns as I was staying up and watching to see what was going to happen into the wee hours of the morning was that they said that the evangelical Christian vote turned out with a greater sense of unity than it has in any, as long as anybody can remember, maybe back to 1980, 1984, something like that. And so there is a unity in the body of Christ. There was a tremendous coalition of religious leaders, evangelical leaders that came together and said, we do not like the assault on Christianity that is taking place upon Christian businesses, pastors having their sermons subpoenaed and their study notes and all of that sort of, there was a tremendous unity took place in that. It didn't mean that it was universal. It wasn't a unanimous vote at Merit Assembly of God either, I'm quite sure. Now, I want to tell you this from this Represent God Well. So if your candidate lost, represent God well. God was on the throne through presidents of every political persuasion, and he's still on the throne today. If your candidate won, represent God well. One of the things that a minister taught me at one point in time when there had been a season of adversity in that had come against him, and there came a relief from that. There was some transition that took place, and I said, congratulations. And he said, oh, no. Please understand, I don't want to celebrate whenever anything negative happens because I don't want to sow those seeds and have to go around that mountain again. So today, if your candidate won, be humble, be thankful, be grateful, but represent God well. You are not called to celebrate in victory the same way that the world celebrates in victory. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And the third thing is I would tell you to represent God well in your community. Yesterday afternoon, I had a project that I was working on, and it needed to be accomplished in the daylight hours. And as I was just getting ready to work on that, God spoke to me about a family that I love, that I minister to. And I didn't know if they had got an opportunity to go to the polls. And so I dropped what I was doing. I went to them, and I offered to take them to the polls if they needed transportation. They have transportation, but I didn't know if they were able to get out and go themselves because they're not always able to drive. And so I went over and I did that. Now, they had already been to the polls and they voted. But several weeks ago, someone said, when people tell you to get out and vote, I believe this was Mike Rowe that said this. He said, if people are offering to take you to the polls, say, oh, thank you, who are you voting for? And if they tell you who they are voting for, say, oh, great, because, you know, I was getting ready to vote for the other candidate. Are you still willing to take me? And his supposed answer was, no, they would drop you like a hot potato. They're not going to do that. The people that I was ministering to, through some of the conversations that we had had, because I'm there to represent Christ, I'm not there to represent a politician, but I went up and I offered to take them to the polls, and I'm pretty sure, even though they never quite 100% told me, but they were on a different side of the political fence than what I was. It didn't matter. They just needed to be served. And so I want you to be challenged today to represent God well. When God says yes to your plan, praise him. When God says no to your plan, praise him, because God never makes a mistake. And as we have heard it said at church, and now it has become part of my vernacular, we need to celebrate just as much when God says yes to our plan as we do when he says no to our plan. It is the same celebration, because God orders our steps and directs our paths. He always leads his people in triumphal procession. He works all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And there were things that were a reality in my sphere of living 8 years ago that I didn't know how those things were ever going to be resolved. But today they have been resolved. There were things that I was praying intensely would not come to pass. And now I'm not talking about a political sense. I'm talking about in real life sense. There were things that I was praying would not come to pass that did come to pass. And those things ended up being the very instruments, the keys that God used to change the other situation that I was praying about. And so I just encourage you today, to if yours was a yes, I got what I wanted, praise God. If today you did not get what you wanted, then praise God anyway, because God never makes a mistake. We need to pray for America that we will return to biblical values, where we value lives that are in the womb, and we take care of those precious gifts from God, and we don't stop taking care of those precious gifts from God when they emerge from the womb. We continue to love them, equip them, train them in the ways of the Lord, and we help to raise them up to be mighty men and women of valor and mighty men and women of God. That's what our privilege is. So there are things that we have gotten. I really preached a message this last Sunday that was quite enlightening to me when I began to look at it. It was talking about things that represent behavior of people who are cursed, and as I looked at that, I'm sitting here looking at my notes right now that I still had in my Bible, and there were many things that were on this list that are prevalent in America right now that would indicate we are a nation that is not pursuing the path that God has declared in his word. And we will get the results of those words if we do not change course. My daughter showed me a Facebook post last night that had nothing to do with politics. It was a little cartoon of a person that was in a very narrow car, and there was a person that said, "Wow, is your car really constrictive?" And he said, "That's okay. You see, this car was built to travel a straight and narrow path, and so it was okay if it seemed a little confining, because it was going to be what was necessary to travel the path successfully." So let me share with you a few more things, four things today, before we run out of time here. First thing is, God hasn't changed. In Isaiah chapter 6, there was a radical shift in the political landscape of Israel. Uzziah, otherwise known as Azariah, had died. He had reigned for 52 years. Now, I'm in my mid-50s. That means that during this political shift that it took place, that if it had taken place when I was just a toddler, I would have never known any other political landscape. And I want you to know that whether Republicans are in the White House or Democrats are in the White House or independents are in the White House or men are in the White House or women are in the White House, God hasn't changed. No matter what political alliances happen between Europe and Great Britain, God hasn't changed. No matter what happens with Russia or China or North Korea or any of these other countries, with Cuba, what happens with those, God doesn't change. He's not moved by the political landscape. And yet these people who lived in a monarchy, this meant complete and total upheaval. Do you realize that in ancient times, whenever the king died and an heir came to the throne, almost all of the other heirs were executed? Aren't you thankful that we are not in for that sort of bloodbath? I am. David was one of the only people who did not come in and wipe out all of the family of Saul. In fact, he had a handicapped son named Mephibosheth, who Saul did, who was dropped when the nurse was running because of a change in political dynasty was taking place. He was dropped, he was injured, he was incapacitated, and David brought him in to the palace, and Mephibosheth said, why would you want to bless a dead dog like I? And David said, I have a covenant that I have made, and you are my responsibility now because of the covenant that I made with your father, Jonathan. And so God today is exactly the same as he was in Isaiah chapter 6. Let me remind you of what happened. And I want to challenge the listeners today to do this same thing. In the year that King Uzziah died, when this political shift took place, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And all of a sudden, dynamic activity was taking place in the heavenlies. Today, when there has been a political shift, let's lift our eyes to heaven. Let's pray and ask God not only to continue to move in our land, but to open our eyes personally, so that we have a greater appreciation and a greater understanding of the holiness of God. There is never a greater time to focus on him who is immovable, unshakable, insurmountable, non-overthrowable. There is no coup against him that will ever work than when everything else shakes. Right now, the media is shaking because they got it completely and totally wrong. There are pollsters who got it completely and totally wrong. There are huge numbers of people that got everything wrong. Their world is shaken. What would happen today if not only the people who were on the losing spectrum of things, but the rest who would say, God, I need to see you today as holy because I need you in my life. One of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible that describes the unchanging nature of God is Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation 2 and 3, there is this, John receives revelation that he's supposed to minister to these churches. The first one had left the first love. The second church was under attack. The third church had a tendency to represent God in a greedy manner. They were looking to be financially relevant, not spiritually relevant. There was a church that caused covenant people to stumble. There was people who sanctioned and brought sexual immorality into the church and idolatry into the church. There was a church that was dead, a church that was feeble, a church that was lukewarm And in Revelation chapter 4, it says this: after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice when I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne in the heaven, and one who sat on the throne. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in ministry, we have to deal with messy situations. And during those times, it's good to know. I titled Revelation chapter 4, a message that I preach from that. Thank God for Revelation chapter 4, that after dealing with all of the problems of humanity and the filth of this world and all of the ugliness that this world has to offer, it is nice to look up and say, God is still on the throne. And the throne is the central focus of chapter 4. Heavens were open. John was brought up, and he said, John, I need you to see what is taking place in heaven today. I want you to know God is on the move. Our God hasn't changed. Second, the message hasn't changed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our message is still that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died for your sins and my sins. He died for Republicans, he died for Democrats, he died for Independents and Green Party and Libertarian and all of these other, he died for every person, whether no matter what their skin color is, no matter what their socioeconomic bracket is. So the church today can honestly say, Jesus died for you. Have I got good news for you? Your hope was never in your political candidate. Your hope was never in your news media. If your hope was there, you are left disappointed today. But today we can point you to a Savior who loves you, who has got a perfect plan for your life, and we can share the message of hope and love with everybody today. The third thing that I want to share with you, and I'm only going to do four, and hopefully I'm going to get all four of them in, is in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, not only has God not changed, our message hasn't changed, and our mission hasn't changed. We are called to take the gospel to all the nations of the world. We are supposed to make disciples of them, teaching them to observe the commandment of God with the presence of God going with us. Aren't you thankful today that Jesus is going with you to work, and he's not sleep deprived? Jesus is going with you so that you can live the message, so that you can share the message, so you can teach the message, so that others will also love and live the Savior Jesus Christ. Our mission isn't the same. It's a little bit easier than what it could have been. The attack on Christianity over the past several years has not been something that has gone unnoticed. There were people who had kind of winked at all of the value voters before, who this time around they were saying, we're not winking anymore. This is a precarious situation. I want you to know, no matter who had won last night, our God hadn't changed, our message hadn't changed, and our mission hadn't changed. We are still supposed to take the gospel into all the world and make disciples, because Jesus has all authority that has been given to him. See, popular votes, electoral votes, all of those things, the way that our representatives are selected, those things are shifting sands. They come, they go. I wouldn't have wanted to be in the minority on occasions, and I wouldn't have wanted to be in the majority on occasions in the Word of God. But God's mission never changes, and it's good to know that he goes with us. One last verse as we're winding down our broadcast today. I hope you've enjoyed this live broadcast. I'm encouraged. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 32. If you will, let me just turn back there just a moment. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 32. The only one I didn't have marked. I'll start reading at verse number 29. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary, any fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. That is a really bad situation. I want you to see that in that environment, which is completely different than the environment that we are living in now, listen to this tremendous verse. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Today, I want to encourage you, if you know God, go out and do great exploits. If you know God, know him better. If you know God, allow his presence to work inside of you. Listen, the environment we live in, has it got challenges? Absolutely. But God overcomes every challenge. He has been defeating armies that were more powerful than Israel's for thousands of years now. God is the ultimate victor. And so today, I just want to encourage you that God is holy. He hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. He is still on the throne. And if you feel like you need to go out and take a bath after all these political ads that have run on television, if you've listened to all of the things and read all of the documents, if all of that, then I encourage you today, God is still holy, and he wants to make his people holy. Isaiah in chapter 6, he recognized his own uncleanness and the holiness of God. He said, you know what? I need to be holy. The message hadn't changed. Our mission hasn't changed. Let's know God better than we've ever known him before, and let's go out and do great exploits for our King, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.